Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Two, Zolak and Bertrand, we're at CBS Scene, Patriot Place in Foxborough today. Final time we'll do it this season. Because we're on to Minneapolis,
wow.
Baby.
That is sad.
What?
It's the last time in here. Last time. Until another year.
Let's go to the phones. Talk to Bert Breer, the MMQB. I think I may have hit the wrong button. Hold on. Hello, Bert? Hello? Is that him? Tom, can you help me?
That was the contest line.
Oh, where is he? I can't see him here.
Just pull him up, Tom, please.
There he is.
You got me.
I got you
there
now,
you go.
Bert. Oh, wait, no, hold on. No, I don't. Try it again. Why is the line locking? Hold on. Don't touch it. Nobody touch it. Nobody touch it. Bert Breer, hello? Bert?
You got me? Hello?
I got you. How you doing, bud?
All right.
How's Alabama? How's Alabama?
Alabama's fantastic. It's a very cultured area of Alabama here in Gulf of Mexico.
Yes. Let me ask you, have you seen any representatives of the New England Patriots?
Yeah, the college guys are here. You know, Monty Austin Ford and the guys who do that stuff year-round. I haven't seen Nick Caserio, but, you know, this is like anything else. I mean, this is a pretty important piece of the pre-draft process because they get a chance to sit down and talk to the kids at night and then go watch them practice. And so, you know, if your team's eliminated, just this is generally the point of the year when the coaches jump in and start to get involved. But for the teams that are still in the playoffs, obviously, you know, it's a little bit more bare bones, but you have to have representatives here.
So when Bill Belichick always says that they're behind on getting ready for the draft because they were in the Super Bowl, which we've heard so many times, maybe they've sort of figured that element out by now. Right? I mean, I just think so. You're at the point now where you've done this so many times that there's got to be a way that you've sort of figured out how to manage that, not starting your off-season process until later in the year.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because this part of it, you know, it's obviously there's really one part of every football operation that's dedicated to this this phase of team building. And, you know, you got your area scouts, your national scout, your college scouting director, and then in some places, your GM, and those guys really are doing this year-round. And, you know, last week's the East-West game and the NFLPA game, but this one, the Senior Bowl, is really when a lot of the coaches jump into the process, the pro scouts jump into the process, and really organizationally, everyone turns the page to 2018. And so Bill's not lying when he says that. I mean, I know he's kind of made light of it, but, you know, when you're 2-3 weeks behind and the combine comes up right there at the turn of February and March, there's a lot of catching up to do because the coaches need to get themselves educated on all the college players before they go to Indy. And, you know, obviously that's something they've had a lot of practice at, but it does make it a little bit more challenging for all of those guys to move on to the next year.
I could care less about any position other than quarterback. How good does Josh Allen look?
He's a big kid, though.
Like what? Who do you compare him to? Like a Wentz?
I mean, like from a frame standpoint, he looks like Ben. He's
really?
Like if you go back and you look at pictures of Roethlisberger from Miami of Ohio, he wasn't quite like a stick then, you know? Like he's a little lankier, and that's sort of what Josh Allen looks like. Like he's already like just a massive kid, but he's got a big frame and looks like he could, you know, easily be 260 pounds, you know? And so, look, there's no question that you watch him throw and he looks a little different than everybody else. And I think the real big thing for teams over the next couple of months with him is going to be how does he learn, how does he process, and when he gets in a pro system, is he going to be able to kind of take those next steps from a learning standpoint? Because one of the big things, this time last year, he was already well thought of, and, you know, he – but he was seen as very, very raw, and a guy who had a ways to go. And he's still sort of seen that way. And so, you know, I think for a lot of these teams, it's going to be, you know, this week looking at him and seeing how he progresses from practice to practice, you know, and then when we get to March and April, putting him up on the board and seeing that he can learn and apply the information that he's going to have to at the NFL level.
Bert, has anything else stood out to you in terms of watching everything that's going on there?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's interesting.
Why?
Ooh. Well, he showed up late yesterday.
Really?
He had a family issue, so like, I don't want to make light of that. But he was pretty snarky about it, you know? And so it's interesting because he has this defiant swagger to him. And you know like how all these kids are coached up now, right? So even if a kid has that, a lot of times it'll be coached out of him, you know, by agents and the people getting him ready for the draft. And they'll try to be as boring as they possibly can be, in 3 months leading up to the draft. And that wasn't Baker. I mean, yesterday he was sort of defiant about it. People asked, is he going to play on Saturday? He said, we'll see. It's interesting. It's going to be an interesting 3 months watching him. I think he's easily going to be the biggest story of the draft. It was fun to watch him run.
He's cocky, isn't he? He's cocky.
He's really, really cocky. Yeah, and that's
what the difference
compared. That's where the Johnny comparison is going to come in. Now, I think he's different than Johnny because, you know, with Johnny wanted to be part of the scene. Like, Johnny wanted to hang out with Drake and show up at big events. And, like, Johnny wanted all of that. Baker's more of, you know, when he's gotten in trouble in the past, it's been, like, with teammates, you know. And he's one of the most popular guys in that program. The coaches, all of his teammates love him. And so, yes, he's got some dirt under his fingernails, but a lot of that is mitigated by what most people say down there, which is that he's a really likable kid when it comes down to it, who does all the work you need to do to play quarterback.
Where do you think he ends up going, like, from a draft positioning standpoint? I know that run's usually going to happen at the top, and I know it's heavy with Rosen and Darnold, but – you know, obviously, Allen's probably going to go. He's going to go through the roof, and we all know he's going to go to Cleveland.
I don't know. I still think that, you know, I think there are four quarterbacks who are going to go somewhere in the top 15 picks. And that's Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield's top 15 pick.
As of right now, I think Darnold and Rosen are probably the leaders in the clubhouse to be the first two. But I think
Allen
Allen and Mayfield have a lot of time to catch up. You know, Rosen's got some off-field stuff too that he's going to have to answer for. He's seen as a little bit like a Cutler from a personality standpoint, so he's going to have a lot of questions to answer over the next 3 months. Darnold is a great kid, but mechanically he's a little different and a little funky, and you're going to have to make some decisions on whether or not you want to change his throwing motion and all this different stuff. And Allen's the kid who's raw, and Baker's obviously a totally different player, you know. And so I think as it stands right now, if the draft were tomorrow, I think my guess is that the first two guys off the board would probably be Darnold and Rosen. But I do think Allen and Mayfield are close enough where over the next 3 months, you know, that the order in which that they go could get jumbled a little bit. But I think all four of them have a really good chance to go in the first half of the first round.
So, Burb, what you're saying is there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken at the top of this draft. So if the Patriots want to get one, they might have to move up.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, too, is going to be how do the Patriots think the guys who might be available in the second or third round compare to the guys at the top? You know, so say like Mason Rudolph, who is a pretty impressive kid to talk to, but comes from, you know, a pure spread offense at Oklahoma State. How do they look at him versus one of the top four guys, because they are going to have time to develop a guy. They don't need a guy to come in and play right away like some of these other teams do. I think that's part of it too. There's four, I think, like I said, four quarterbacks that I think go in the top half of the first round. But there's some depth in this group too, where there are going to be some guys who'll be available on the second day that I think ultimately could be as good as the others.
All right, Bert, appreciate the time. We'll be talking to you next week in Minnesota, correct?
See you, pal.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see you guys then.
Right, okay, Bert Breer reporting from Mobile, Alabama, where the Senior Bowl is taking place, and NFL teams are getting a good look at the talent that is coming out in this year's draft. The CBS Sports Minute is brought to you by Acura of Peabody. John Feinstein says, Blake Bortles is most certainly the answer at quarterback for the Jaguars.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. About.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As promised, we're going to go back to your calls. Also want to get to a story in SI on Tom Brady. What was that? What was the
I was looking at the menu.
Oh. Okay. All right. What do you think you're ordering today? What are you looking at?
You're not going to get to eat here for another year.
This
so.
Looks good. Little ribeye?
Last one of the year.
Going for a ribeye.
Chipotle coffee.
Coffee. I'm going to go to the coffee. You know
Chipotle,
what? I'm
going to
tell everyone
what
we're worried about. This is what we're worried about next week. So we're going to be underneath the roller coaster doing the show next week.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good for
distractions. For a young Mr. Scott Zolak.
I got enough problems in the studio. There's going to be a lot.
Now we're going to put a roller coaster.
A lot of sensations. A lot of traffic.
By the way, our guest list is already filling up for next week. A lot of guests being booked in advance this season.
Well, that's what happens when you have a good producer.
It's true.
It also helps to go 2 years in a row, and you know a lot of the people.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does.
Terry Bradshaw is going to join us Wednesday.
Wrong day. Terry Bradshaw's on Friday.
What? Friday now?
No, it was never Wednesday.
I'm bringing my Steeler helmet.
Terry Bradshaw reached out to us. His people reached out to us to tell us that Terry Bradshaw wanted to go on and wanted to talk to Zoe.
I love him.
So Terry Bradshaw will be on the show next week.
Zoe, any chance you could wear the Steeler's helmet during the interview?
Sure.
I think that'd be a, I'd make for a lot
of nice
photos.
I have a Rocky Brad Blyer jersey. Told me I'm signed that, too. But that's stitch that one.
We had Mean Joe Green on in Indy.
Zoe
starstruck. Starstruck.
Really?
I was like, here, give me the jersey. Say, hey, kid, catch. I thought I was the Coca-Cola kid in that commercial when I was a kid.
Wow. Thanks, Mean Joe.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
Any of those old Steelers hey, kid, you can catch. Get on, you got to get on because Zoe just melts.
Wait, see, Mel Blunt. Oh, with his cowboy hat. 6'4" safety.
Who's that? Who is that Irish guy that they had on the team?
Oh, Franco. Franco Harris.
O'Harris.
Yeah. There was a kid we worked with.
First name Frank. Story. Last name O'Harris.
This kid, intern by the name of Ed. Moron. I love Ed. Ed the intern.
I love you, you big
hey,
dummy.
Somebody wants to talk about the Steelers, and he wrote it on the call screen line. Frank O'Harris. I said, get up, get leave now. Get out. He didn't. Never heard of the guy. Never heard of that Steeler. Have you ever heard of the Immaculate Reception? It's amazing he was here. It's like the Immaculate Conception.
They have a statue of that in the airport in Pittsburgh.
Take a picture of it every time I go?
Yeah. Carlton in Tampa today.
Yes. This is a streak now.
Hi,
hey, guys.
Hi, Carl.
I want to make sure that when you guys are analyzing the comparisons of the 2017 New England Patriots versus the 2003 and 2004 Patriots, especially when you're analyzing the Dion Lewis and David Patton and David Branch statistics, that you remember to include, you know, that Charlie Weiss was calling in the defensive alignments to Tom Brady's headset in 2003 and 2004 until, of course, Eric Mangini, the defensive backs coach, ratted them out at the beginning of 2007.
Yes, we remember that. Yes, thank you.
I'm sure Brady couldn't understand the front of coverage.
Remember to adjust their statistics by that phenomenon. And also maybe the reason why
what are you getting so excited for?
Oh, my God.
Get all piped up. Pipe down.
It won't be a 3-point game. Maybe the reason is because in the last five games, the Eagles have been called for only 41 yards, less penalty yards than their opponents, whereas the Patriots have been called for 280 less yards.
Maybe the two teams left are pretty disciplined, and maybe they don't commit a lot of mistakes.
Maybe it's because the fix is in. Maybe that's why we're not expecting a close game.
You never answer my question about the conspiracy. Is there a conspiracy within the league or not?
then you couldn't have a more blatant evidence of discrepancy.
Okay, hold on. Hold on one second. How long does the conspiracy get? Carlton.
Carlton.
I know you can't prove it, but I'm asking you what you think.
How long does the conspiracy go back?
5 games.
Okay, just a handful of games.
Only five games.
It started five games ago?
It's a five-game conspiracy.
Find me a five-game history of the NFL in its entire history with this big discrepancy
thank you.
Of penalties.
Thank
can you find me the, can you find me the next closest? Can you find me the next closest example of it?
No, I mean, okay, well, go look.
You find it and call us back.
No, that would prove to me. Okay, that's too many.
The burden of proof is on you, Carlton, not on us.
Yeah, it's not on me, which is why I'm asking him to find the next closest discrepancy or gap in penalties over a five-game span. That would prove that he's actually tried to research the topic and looked it up, because he's the statistical guy. He's the research guy. He loves statistics. So what I'm asking for is... okay, if this is the biggest gap ever over a five-game span, tell me what the second biggest gap ever is, and then you will have some evidence. Because you can't just say, I challenge you, walk it up, when you have no idea which gap is second, third, fourth, or even if this is the biggest gap ever. It may not be.
The implication is that the Patriots are only winning because it is a vast league-wide conspiracy to get them to win. I asked him how long it goes back, because I wondered if it included... the four-game suspension of Tom Brady, the million-dollar fine, which, okay, maybe that doesn't impact winning, but the first-round draft pick certainly did. Does it go back that far? I mean, how do you explain away last year's Super Bowl? How do you explain away the Super Bowl against Seattle? If you're going to start fixing games, right?
If the league is fixing games, and I can't believe we're talking about this, like
this
it's
is
professional wrestling now.
Yes.
Okay, if they are fixing games.
Well, who would win? Roman Reigns or.
Just playoff games.
Just the playoff games.
Would
you be fixing games to put the Patriots and Eagles in the Super Bowl, or would you maybe fix it to put Pittsburgh and New Orleans in the Super Bowl?
Pittsburgh and Dallas.
You got to be a good team, though. You got to be good enough to be in the playoffs.
But you know what I'm saying? Right. Guess who the ref is next week?
It's Sterator.
You got it.
Since Deflategate took place.
I love that he calls our
by
show
By the
now.
Way, I just there was no statistical analysis of this season and 2004. Zoe and I used the old eye test.
You know what?
Watch the games, figure out who we think is good, who we don't think is any good.
I totally forgot that Carlton calls in to Stephen A. Smith a lot. I should have talked to Stephen A. Smith about that. That's on me.
Here's a good tweet that
what do you got?
Tom just directed our way.
Yeah, 9 hours ago.
Someone called Fear the Beard on Twitter.
Fear the Beard.
Also goes by, I think I know who this guy is. He puts up good videos. 03 Cliff Kingsbury is what he goes by on there. He says, remember all the conspiracies and outrage back in the 03-04 playoffs about the Colts offense going 100-plus plays without a penalty in the playoffs? Me neither. And there's a screen grab of the Colts having their first penalty on offense in the postseason after 117 plays of no penalties.
So that's like two games.
Yeah, something like that.
You get about 60, 68 plays to snap per offense.
That actually might help Carlton's argument, by the way.
Yeah.
The league being in the bag for Manning and Brady.
Yeah.
That might be actually help his argument there.
Check it out, guys.
If the league's in the bag for Brady now, why wouldn't they have been
in
the bag for Manning before?
We take another
call to get past that. Oh, tough play.
He's so excited. Check it out.
Check it out, guys. You want to do one more?
Yeah, just we just can't.
Let's come back to earth with Jason and Lowell on the Mall of America.
Hey,
Jason,
that's what I'm talking
about. We're mixing these calls in all day.
Now, this is important.
Wait, Jason, first question, have you been there?
Yes, I have.
Proceed.
Before I get to that, though, I just want to say I'll take Teddy Bruschi's defense by far way before I take this defense. Even
thank
though this
you.
Defense has been playing better.
I don't think anyone's really going to argue against that, but thank
no,
you.
No, Bruschi and any defense, I'll take. So I have been to Mall of America once when I was on tour with a band I was in back in 08. The only really two like big things that you can – really go there and see one that you already mentioned, which is the theme park, which has the biggest roller coaster inside a mall.
Yes.
Nice.
And I don't know if they have a water. I think they might have one water park.
That's been debunked. There's no water park. Debunked.
All right. But I know they didn't have a water park.
Can Beetle go on a water slide?
Legoland. They have that in, like, huge, like robots made of Legos, and it's pretty cool in there. Besides that, it's just a bunch of stores and a movie theater like any other mall.
Yeah, any other mall.
Like, I'll be driving.
Jim's friend texted us. He said there's like 18 lids in a food court.
Yeah, great. I could get. Hey, I tell you what, guys, if they got that Umi Japan there, and I could get the two sides Umi. with the orange chicken.
Isn't it like Saku Japan?
It's Umi down here at the Attleboro Mall. UMI.
What about Panda Express?
Panda Express.
Same thing.
Little orange chicken.
Panda. Yep.
Panda.
And get the grilled vegetables with the lo mein. Mm.
Sounds like you got it all figured out.
Yeah, see, I'll be driving down 93 and you'll be passing, you know, South Shore Mall there. I start to get the itches. You know, you start scratching. Like, everybody, guys just, like, want to avoid the mall. But here we are going to be.
You know what it also has? From going on the web and looking,
yeah?
It feels like a little bit like, feels a little tacky. Like Vegas feels tacky.
Feels like, what? Yeah.
You know, like it's got a Margaritaville.
Oh, it does.
It's got a Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh,
you know, it's
like when you go to Lauderdale and they have like the boardwalk there with the triple stacks of Hooters.
Yeah, where's the Senor Frogs?
Yeah, Senor. Oh, it's right down there next to Buenos Noches.
Where can I get to find a TGI Fridays around here, guys? All right, headlines with Artie. We're back from CBS Scene here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics started a four-game road trip with their fourth straight loss to the Lakers, 108-107 last night. Kyrie Irving put up 33 points in the loss. That puts his total at 77 for the last two games. Green will stay in L.A. for tonight's game against the Clippers. It's a 10 o'clock pregame, 10:30 tip. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins beat the Devils 3-2. Riley Nash, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, your goal scorers. They're now 13-0-4 in their last 17 games. Tomorrow night they'll visit Ottawa. Patriots practicing today, getting ready for Super Bowl 52 a week from Sunday in Minneapolis against the Eagles. Zoe and Beetle live at the CBS Scene in Foxborough. More with them coming up. Tiger Woods making his first official start on the PGA Tour. Today at the Farmers Insurance Open, this is his first start since he missed the cut at this very tournament last year. He'll tee off at 1:40 p.m. Headlines are brought to you by Why Litigate. Instead of court, go to Why Litigate. Resolve divorces and legal matters in a shorter time and a lower cost. WHYLitigate.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We've got our Super Bowl ticket expert coming up at 12:20. Tony Knopp will join us.
Knopp.
We had people tweeting us a couple days ago saying, you having that guy on again? What's his name?
Yeah. I've had people text me wanting to know about the tickets and stuff. Yeah. Let's just put him in touch with him.
Co-founder and CEO, ticket manager. He's the guy. He's like the Super Bowl ticket guru guy.
Nice.
Yeah, we kind of...
used to be a big week at StubHub, I believe.
Yeah. We kind of accidentally found him last year.
Yeah, he fell in our lap.
And now he's our guy,
yeah,
which I love. So we're going to have him on again. Can't wait to talk to him. My cousin called me last night. He said, hey, keep your ear out if you hear anything about tickets.
Good for him.
He's got twin newborns that are like 2 weeks old at home.
Yeah, so I'd be looking to go to the Super Bowl, too.
First of all, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Second of all, what are you, looking to get divorced?
Yeah, what are you, dumb?
I said, what are you, looking for a divorce? What are you, out of your mind?
Wait till that first time you leave.
He's like 2.5 weeks old.
Wait till that first time you leave.
He's like, he went to last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was at last year's game.
Can you imagine him leaving next week and then those two kids crap their pants at the same time and she's standing there holding both?
So he's more of a Felger, not a Hurley.
Oh, yeah. He's been working. He's been working off and on.
Oh, I see you.
You know? Gotta keep doing you. Gotta keep doing business. Yeah.
Hurley's not going to Super Bowl, is he?
I have no idea. I don't work with him anymore.
That's right.
He's not my coworker anymore.
I totally forgot that.
Doesn't work for us anymore.
God, they wouldn't send anybody.
How do you know?
I don't know.
You don't?
Send Sarge.
I have no idea if he's going. No idea. I hope he is, for his sake.
Yeah.
I was actually reading something from him earlier today about Doug Peterson having a coaching gaffe of sorts, which we can get to that as well.
Well, one of my friends is the run coordinator too, Eugene Chung. So
the what?
The run coordinator.
Oh, the run coordinator.
For the offense. Yes.
I didn't realize he was coaching.
He took Doug. Doug left Kansas City. Took him with him.
I didn't even realize
yep.
that.
Yep.
That's very good. Dad, you consider him a friend?
Eugene? God, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys are buddies?
Oh, yeah.
I know you played together.
Sure.
Chris is in Natick. Hi, Chris.
You know, hold on real quick.
Oh, yes.
Hey, he's the guy that got me on Roll with the Changes. It's his favorite song.
Really?
He used to crank that in his he used to have it.
All right, we're going to have to search him out on Monday night for the opening.
Now we're going to need to talk to Eugene Chung.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yep. Chris in Natick, go ahead.
What's up, Peter? What's up, Doug?
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful.
Taught me how to make garlic bread, too.
Oh, my God.
Okay, go ahead.
We go to an awakening every year, me and a couple buddies.
Yeah.
And we never made it to the mall in Minnesota. But I will say, the people there, they're just nice, friendly, no matter where you go.
Wait till the Philly fans show up.
Oh, they're going to load them.
You went to Minnesota as, like, a guy's trip?
Yeah, when the Pats played there, like, 3-4 years ago.
Yep. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the old place.
No, it was at the University of Minnesota we played at.
Oh, right, in the in-between.
Yeah. We were on the outskirts of town. I remember staying outside the city. I don't ever remember seeing Minneapolis or St. Paul. Because we had to play at the University of Minnesota. We stayed at some typical, like, hide in an office park that you couldn't see anything.
Typical of the Patriots.
Somewhere out in the woods.
Typical. Susie in Boston. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Beetle.
Hey,
hi, well. Zoe. Hardy.
Hi.
Hi there. So, quick story. I married a Minnesotan. My first trip out there, we stopped at the Mall of America, and I shot my first air rifle.
Shut up.
Yep.
Where at?
Right in the mall. It was about 10, 15 years ago.
I got a shooting range?
Is this place a mall or an amusement park?
Air rifle.
It sounds
it's
more...
pretty much an amusement park, and then we went on the roller coaster.
Do they have paintball there?
I wouldn't doubt it. But another great thing was Dale Earnhardt's backup car, when he was still alive, was at one of the bars just sitting there.
Oh, Felger will love that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
He'll be rooting for that bar.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't quite in the corner, though. So.
Oh, that's good. I'll have to let Michael
know. Is it near a wall?
That.
In that bar, exactly. Felger roots for the broken glass and the ice.
You got it.
But a quick story about how nice everyone in Minnesota is, and they really, really are. We go back just about every June, and we'd always stop at a bar when we, you know, came from the airport.
Yeah.
And one time we went there, my brother-in-law met us. He went to get cash out of the ATM. It got jammed. He couldn't get his money. He was really upset. We go back the next year. We walk into the bar, and it was the same bartender, and she came out and said, "Oh, my God, I don't believe it." And she went back into the office, and she came out with the $20 that got jammed in the ATM. No, I swear to God, when the guy came to fix the machine, he found a $20, and she knew it was us, and she saved it for a whole year. So how about that?
Wow.
Yeah, and Zoe, that movie that you were trying to figure out with Kirsten Dunst?
Yes.
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Drop Dead Gorgeous. I'm going home to watch that tonight.
The best line about it was her mom saying, "Amber, did you get me my smokes?" That's
why I had a
whole movie.
Oh, you do a fabulous Minnesota
accent. Remember, she was working in the cafeteria when they were trying to they were trying to rehydrate the lutefisk, right?
Oh, gosh. It was a great, great movie. But you'll have a ball. It's really, everyone's so nice. You'll have fun. And, you know, I'm really bummed out that Minnesota didn't make it because we were going to fly out there and just hang with the family and really enjoy the Super Bowl. But you'll guys have a great time.
Cool. All right, Susie.
Hey, thanks for the call, Susie.
Great call. Great accent.
It's great.
That is a great Minnesota accent that she can turn on. Get my smokes.
Get it down, Pat.
Can't do it.
Smokes.
Oh, so good. We could. We need those as drops there.
Yeah.
T-bone.
Yeah.
Babs. We gotta get on that.
T-bone.
Babs. On it. On it right now.
Did you get me my smokes?
Perfect. Perfect. All right, so I want to tell you about a story on Tom Brady that was written by SI. Also, a story about his hand last weekend. We will get to both of those coming up right after this.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five.
You know what takes up a lot of space in your luggage when you start packing and doing all that? Shoes.
Wait, are you packing already?
Shoes. Well, I'm trying to like get my shoes together for different outfits, suits. You need a brown pair, black.
Yeah,
pair.
Yeah, I've decided, you know? I'm dropping a pair of shoes from the luggage this
year. Pair to work out.
I'm wearing the. I'm bringing these shoes.
Those are nice. Those
They're
are
nice,
excellent
right?
for it. Yep.
You can wear these in multiple ways.
These can be multifunctional.
These can be dressy or casual.
Yep. Got a little suede to them. Got a little white bottom.
You guys bringing boots?
No.
Boots for what?
Not doing it.
What do you want to go play? What do you want to play in the snow? Want to go outside? Go sled riding?
What, am I going to wear my snow boots to Minneapolis?
Jesus.
No.
But we're going to.
Are you bringing your boots?
I'm bringing mall walkers. I got some nice white Reeboks that I just picked up, and I mean, if anything, we need mall walkers this year.
White, what about stretch pants? Do you have any stretch pants?
I got stretchy pants. Mall walkers, fanny pack. Yeah, I'm all set. Too bad Sarge isn't going. He's got multiple pairs of mall walkers.
I saw him yesterday.
How was he?
He showed up at my Awaken 180 commercial shoot.
Yes, of course he did. Why wouldn't he?
I thought he was going to be part of it. And they're like, no, he just showed up.
He just shows up a lot.
He's there.
Comes by.
Yep.
Don't know.
He talked glowingly of you. Outstanding time with you. Sorry, you got the new Kowloon crew member, Sarge Salute of the Week.
Wow. Well.
Yep. How about that?
I enjoyed hanging out with Andy Wong. That was a good time.
You left a couple other guys out.
What? I'm not saying anything bad about anybody. I said I enjoyed hanging out with Andy.
Right.
What?
Nothing.
I talked to somebody last night that was happy with Hardy, too.
Who?
Or the PR guy that we dealt with to book our Mary Lou Retton guest last year.
Oh, my.
Yeah. He was talking about it again. He called me. He was talking about it. He said he's a teacher, college, has a journalism class, and he played that interview.
No, he didn't.
Because as an example of, like, just don't pre-plan everything. Just kind of roll with it sometimes, and you'll create great radio. And he played the segment.
So I'm essentially part of the curriculum. They're,
yes.
Where is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Like Columbia yeah. School of Journalism, Northwestern, where was it?
Yeah, where's that at?
I think it was at Springfield, actually.
Okay.
It's not bad. I'll take that. Is she coming back? Is she doing Radio Row this year?
I don't think so, no.
What the hell were you talking to him about, Jim?
Just wanted to know if we're going to be there. He can walk by and see us, and if he has anybody that he thinks is a good fit, he'll come over.
Did you specifically ask
about Mary Lou Retton?
Yes, and more importantly, has she asked about how often, let me rephrase the question, and let this be a lesson to journalism students too, how often does she ask about me? Because we know that she does. We'll just assume that. Jim!
I don't have an answer for you, Hardy.
Well, you should probably get one.
I don't
Maybe
know. What, I really don't
have
know
another
what,
conversation with this guy.
I don't know what you talked to him about then. I don't understand.
All right. I want to get to the story that was written up on Sports Illustrated about the AFC Championship game in MMQB. You never know whether it's MMQB or Sports Illustrated. Why can't Burt just say he works for Sports Illustrated?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, what's the diff?
Who cares?
It's Sports Illustrated. You work for SI.
So it's from a football writer.
Yeah, Greg Bishop was the guy who wrote it. A couple of things in here. Talking about Tom Brady wearing a splint that was fashioned for the thumb and met throughout the week with his body coach, Alex Guerrero, last week, who prescribed a compression sleeve made from the same material as Brady's often mocked recovery pajamas to be worn 24/7. You have those pajamas, right, So?
I sure do.
Can you fashion a compression sleeve out of the pajamas?
Oh, yeah. Sure could.
That material?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like that Nike Dry Fit material, but it's silkier, it's smoother, it's cooler. You know what I notice when I use those when I sleep? I don't feel like I have anything on. It's like real, it's, I never sweat. It allows my skin to breathe.
So you think that would be the best material to make a compression sleeve out of?
I don't know. I like to stick my thumb in that. I mean, if you think, hey, you've got to make a compression sleeve and something that's going to... Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. No, go ahead.
Sure.
Keep moving.
It works.
Doesn't that feel like it's completely unnecessary?
Sure.
Over the top?
Yep.
And the material that... the pajamas were made of somehow saved the thumb.
Well, it may have helped speed the healing of the cut. You know, because you're in contact with the cut, probably. So it's like a second skin.
Bishop writes, the injury was serious enough at first that backup Brian Hoyer believed he might play right up until Sunday. But by the time Brady practiced on Friday, throwing the ball well and deep sometimes without the glove, those closest to him had been rid of all doubt, just not publicly.
Oh, there was doubt until Friday. There was doubt. I agree with that from what I heard.
And then the doubt was erased on Friday afternoon.
Yep. Talked to a couple players that, you know, they said when it happened, originally in practice, it's like you hear a pin drop. And then all the whispers start, where the hell did he go?
To go back to just these types of stories in general, right, this story which has some inside details of how the week went, and talking about Friday, film crews arriving early at the Patriots press room. And there's just things in here. You say, okay, yeah, so they got a good grip. Greg Bishop has got some sort of grasp on how the week went. But the splint made from the recovery pajamas, where do you think that comes from?
Brady.
Of course. Of course it does. It comes from Brady and Alex. Marketing their recovery pajamas in an SI story with Greg Bishop.
They're going to sell splints.
This is, yeah, right. And this neoprene, is like, neoprene this splints. Is the, yep. How much more, this yep. is, just, yep. I don't want to steal yep. this point from Hardy.
Yep.
Because Hardy's been saying this for a long time. How much more do you need? You've got this incredible game that happened on Sunday. Incredible win, adding to the legend, adding to the Hall of Fame career and resume. And now you're on your way to the Super Bowl, and someone in the camp is stopping by SI, you know, figuratively, to let them know that the splint was made out of these recovery pajamas.
This is more of like a personal thing. You just, I feel like one human
enough.
To another. I wish that being the greatest football player of all time was enough for Tom Brady. It seems like that'd be enough for one person. Is that enough? I'll scale it back. Is being the greatest quarterback to ever play the game enough of an accomplishment, or do you need to make your own splints out of jammies and let everybody know about it?
Or the 12 people under him that are coming up with these ideas to further their gigs. I mean,
I've left enough of a mark on this world. What more can I do? I'll cut the sleeve off of my $900 pajamas and wrap it around my thumb and tell the world.
It's like Michael
then
Scott out
in the woods.
Me. Remember when Michael Scott from The Office wanted to play Survivor Man? They dropped him off in the woods, and he fashioned a headdress made of a suit pant leg.
Yes.
And then he started to get cold. That's what this is. You get Dwight Schrute hanging over the hill, and it's probably Alex. Wait to see if he's going to survive. I mean, all this is the people under him furthering their cause. Building the brand, building the TB12 method stuff.
It's almost like you're suggesting that they're using Brady.
I saw the glove.
Are you suggesting someone's using him?
Well, I'm going to tell you
got
this.
It, pal.
I'm going to tell you something else. Tom Brady in his sales pitch for how he was able to play was one-upped by a company, I would say, in the same field that Tom Brady wants to be in.
Oh,
he was one-upped today in a story in the Washington Post, and it explains how the Patriots wrapped up Tom Brady's hand for the game on Sunday. I'll give you the details of that after these headlines. 90 seconds.
What do you think?
Oh, I think I can only answer yes.